Hello, fellow fish jerks. This is Jay Leeper with West Texas Jerkbaits. I have the privilege and the honor today to, I feel like I've caught my first big bass. I've got Wendell Ramsey at the interview site, and he's agreed to talk with me and be interviewed and get a chance to pick his brain a bit. So, Wendell, you want to say hello to the audience?
Hello, audience. Glad to be here. I want to thank Jay for having me. And I want to tell everybody right off the bat, I offered to take Jay fishing tomorrow, and he declined. So, fellow fishermen, remember that, okay? He declined to go fishing tomorrow.
You know, I'm still looking at rearranging my schedule, okay? So I was like,
Okay.
And even the meeting tomorrow, I'm like, you know, it's losing importance quickly, okay? All right. If you wouldn't mind, Wendell, for the purpose of the audience, can you tell us a little bit about your name and hometown?
Again, I'm Wendell Ramsey. I am a senior. I have a son who's a junior. I was born in Alice, Texas. Lived in Freer, Texas for about, till I was about 6 years old, and been in the San Angelo area pretty much the rest of my life. I graduated Water Valley High School, small school, great people. It's a lot of fun. And been around this area ever since.
Currently, are you a member of any bass clubs?
I am a member of the Angelo Bass Federation and the Concho Bass Club at the time. I believe that's all I'm a member of. However, at one time, I think I've been a member of all the bass clubs at one time or another. So,
if I understand right, you also hold a perfunctory right now with Angelo?
I am the president of the Angelo Bass Federation. I have been for the last 3 years. And that's fun.
I was going to say, talk about responsibility weighing you down. part of our focus is talking about our local lakes and the conditions of them and you know, what people think about, especially the acknowledged experts like yourself. And I know you're uncomfortable wearing that mantle.
I am. That's a little thick for me, but...
Yeah, but, you know, you take a look at the past interviews, and it's just true. You know, when I ask them who the top three fishermen are, you're... like number one that they talk about before they talk about the other two. So whether you like it or not.
I'm honored. That's nice. And I said I'll probably never catch another fish again because we're talking about that.
Can you tell me what you think about, or what is your favorite local lake and why?
Well, you know, I really have a lot of favorite lakes. I don't have a preference to them, but if I had to fish a lake within the West Texas area, it would be Lake Brownwood. Certainly not one of the better fisheries in West Texas as far as catching a lot of quality fish, but it's a fun lake for me to fish. I do catch a lot of fish on that lake, and I've had a lot of great experiences over there. I love fishing Lake Brownwood. And honestly, I grew up fishing Nasworthy, so Nasworthy would be a close second. And a lot of people would frown on that, but Nasworthy really is a good fishery. So.
Actually, I know the answer to this because we had the privilege of having Wendell come out and be our guest speaker for the Paul Ann Bass Club. And it's really, I don't mean it seems like it's redundant. I just, you know, I'm asking these purposes and I love the answers on this. Your favorite techniques?
Well, by far, it's no secret. I love the flip and pitch, soft creature baits. I like staying around heavy cover, jerking fish out of there, you know, short line. And for a lot of reasons, I grew up fishing out of a kayak and dabbling, so I was always around that kind of cover. A big, heavy action rod with heavy line and fishing around cover is by far my favorite thing to do.
Three favorite lures?
Three favorite lures right now. My favorite one, of course, right now is probably a Rage Tail Space Monkey. It's put out by Strike King. It's kind of new on the market. I was fortunate enough to know... Steve Parks in Dallas, who invented the baits and patented them and now markets them through Strike King. He sent me some really before they ever came out on the market. I got a little heads up on them. Fantastic baits. And the whole Rage Tail line, the action of the baits that he has is just phenomenal. And then I'm staying with Creature Baits. Right behind that, I like Speed Crawls, Zoom Speed Crawls. Very effective way to catch a lot of fish. It'll catch little fish, big fish, and been doing that a long time. Probably my next favorite bait is a 10-inch power worm rigged with a 1/4-ounce weight with a big 5-aught hook, and I've caught fish everywhere on that particular bait from Amstead to Toledo Bend. It's a fantastic a way to catch a lot of big fish. So.
All right, here's a one I know that's going to pique people's interest, especially when it comes to picking your brain. Is there any advice that you can give for local fishermen, especially for those slightly below average?
Jay's raising his hand.
I am.
That's not true. Yeah, and I preach this a lot to a lot of people. There's two really important things you got to remember. One is time on the water. And I know a lot of people have busy jobs and have a lot of things to do, and they've got families. The best teacher in the world is time on the water. So, you know, if you have to involve your family to be a better fisherman, so be it. So, you know, there's different levels, but time on the water is one of the most important things. The other thing is learn your craft to the best of your ability, and that's just the basics. Learn how to cast accurately. Learn how to flip and pitch accurately. Keep your baits in the strike zones as long as possible. As long as you're around fish and you're making quality casts to the fish at all times, you really can't go wrong. And I see a lot of people that just don't do that. You know, they cast randomly around cover, not really in the cover. They tend to stay away from it because they're afraid to even get hung up, when in fact they probably should be a lot closer to that stuff. So accurate casting, which, you know, the right angle you cast or pitch or flip or anything you do, you want to keep that bait in the strike zone. So, and it's really, there again, it kind of falls back to time on the water. The more you do those kinds of things, the better you're going to be at it. So the fish will come, you know. If you can do those things accurately and do them well, the fish will come. How's that?
I like that. I don't know how bought I am about the last part, but what is your opinion on the condition of the local fishing? We talk about the fishing in the area from Ivy to Spence on down to Twin Buttes.
Yeah, we have lakes that, and you're kind of painting a broad picture there, because we have lakes that I think are actually kind of hurting, even though the fishing conditions might not say it right now, because the fishing's very well. Like Lake Spence. The fishing's very good over there, but as you know, I recently talked to Parks and Wildlife. There is a high level of golden algae over there right now, and it is at toxic levels. I've seen some of the fish, and they are showing the effects of it. There's certainly not any fish kills or anything going on at the moment, but they are showing signs of that. Ivy, on a scale of 1 to 10, is probably a 7 or an 8 right now. Ivy's a real good lake. And it has been since the hydrilla took over in the last 2 to 3 years. It's really made it a phenomenal fishery. There's a lot of big fish in there, and you catch all kinds of size fish now because of the grass that's grown in the lake. So I would have to rate that as probably one of the greater lakes near the San Angelo area. Twin Buttes is, of course, we're dropping, you know, normally this time of year, the lake holds its own, the springs run, and the lake levels off, but it's been dropping. So, and that's not a good sign in the wintertime when it's dropping. But the fish I've been catching out there have been very healthy. They're full of eggs. They're ready to spawn. So hopefully we'll have another good spawn and we'll get some rain. Nasworthy is Nasworthy. It's pretty much stays level. You know, it drop a few inches here, rise a few inches here, which is good generally for spawning anytime when you have that. So, you know, it's a good fishery right now.
No, it works. Okay, this is one I'm dying to ask you.
Uh-oh.
Favorite true fishing story?
True fishing story. And I've got a great one for you, and I hope we got time to listen to this, but I'll try to cut it down as quickly as possible. Brady Lake. Back in the mid to late 90s, me and my good fishing partner of mine, Ronnie Wallace, were fishing a honey hole team tournament at Lake Brady. Early in the morning, he started fishing that morning. He caught I caught a couple of 14.5-inch bass right off the bat. Ronnie, right after that, caught one that was almost 10 pounds. Just a big, beautiful bass. Swallowed a crankbait, and we were excited. We hadn't been fishing probably 30 minutes that morning of the tournament. got him in the live well, kind of lull, so we were going to make a move to another area. When we started to move, I mentioned to Ronnie, I said, hey, we've got those three fish in the same live well. Let's move the big one over to the other side, and then we'll leave the two little ones by themselves so they'll be easier to cull. And he agreed. As we were idling out, he looks in the back, and he said, how many fish do we have? I said, we had three. He said, we only got two. And I said, what? We only have two fish in the live well. You got to be kidding me. So anyway, he goes, you got to come here. You're not going to believe this. needless to say, that big fish that Ronnie had caught at eight, one of the 14 and a half inch bass that we had in the live well. So here we are in a major fishing tournament, a lot of money on the line, and we're all excited. We didn't know what to do. The rules say you can only weigh five fish. Well, one of our fish ate one of our fish. Does that still count? We had quite a dilemma. Make a long story short, we winded up pulling in and not hurting the big fish. It was released alive, and it was in good shape when it swam away. But we wind up getting that 14 and a half inch fish out of that almost 10 pound bass. And needless to say, down the line, we culled all those little fish anyway. We wind up with a nice string, almost 25 pounds, and won the tournament and still had big bass. So we told them what happened. We did pass the polygraph question because we had to tell them what we had done. Anyway, we still won the tournament. So
how'd you get the fish out?
Slowly but surely, in its gut, we slowly worked it out. You know, it was in head first, but it took a while. But we got it out, and the big fish was unhurt. Now, is that a story or what?
Oh, my Lord.
True story. It's a very true story. And we were totally lost because we could not believe what had just happened. But it happened. So, anyway.
Oh, my.
It was done.
Any other good stories?
Oh, gosh, yeah, several. I remember taking my youngest boy down to the Concho River down here near Bill Street Crossing, and we were bass fishing. He was between my legs in the kayak, and we're going along the gatorweed stretches there, and there was a bullfrog up on the bank behind the gatorweed. And I told him, I said, do you want me to try to get that, Brandon? He said, what are you going to do? I said, I can catch it on a lure. He didn't believe it would eat a lure, so I flipped over there, and sure enough, the frog swallowed it and started eating the bait. So I set the hook and swung this, 3-pound bullfrog into the boat right between his legs. Needless to say, we almost went swimming all because he freaked out. The frog had actually jumped when it hit the bottom of the boat and bumped him on the leg, and he just started screaming the scariest scream. He thought that the frog had bit him. Because, it jumped up, and I thought he was going out of the boat. I had to hold him down. Meanwhile, people are going down the jogging path thinking I'm hurting this poor child out here in the lake. And anyway, I paddled to the bank. We got everything squared away. But I love that story.
Oh, man. All right. Catch and release.
I believe in catch and release to a point. I think as we need to look at how we're managing those, because I know for a fact there's a lot of people catching and a lot of people releasing. There's none going home to the frying pan. So people really do need to start taking a few fish home. I think we're having that problem. I look at Ivy that has an 18-inch minimum. I know years past, that's been come up into discussion because they thought there was an abundance of bass in there and we were having stunning problems. Of course, the lake was low at the time, and I think it hurt the quality of the fish for a little while. But of course, now with the grass back, those fish are coming back healthier. But I think lakes that do not we're not taking fish out of definitely hurts them to a point. So if we need to drop that sometime to 12 inches versus 14, I don't know if that's the right answer, but. Certainly, it's not going to hurt to take fish home and fillet a few and feed your family. There's nothing wrong with that, and it needs to be done more, probably.
Personal hero.
Oh, personal hero. I do have a personal hero. His name is Bob Vance. Again, he's a good friend of mine's dad. He passed away several years ago, but he was a good man. And in my upbringing, I certainly respected him a lot. So he was good. I'll leave it at that.
Okay, this is one that I'm really curious as to how you're going to answer this one. In your opinion, who would you consider to be the three best local fishermen?
Three best local, and that's hard for me to answer, not only because I certainly respect a lot of fishermen in this town, and I've always said, and even in my writings in the newspaper that I've done, I certainly respect a lot of the fishermen in West Texas and San Angelo, because we have so much diversity here with, you know, water.
You can respectfully pass to answer this question, just because I can understand
well,
your position.
I do. I mean, I know there's, and I'm going to mention three that I certainly respect. But believe me, I know for a fact there's a bunch of fishermen in this town that are just as good as I am. And some of them don't fish when, you know, nearly as much as I do. But I know how quality fishermen they are. First of all, I'd like to talk to Ronnie Wallace, who I brought up is one of my longtime team fishing partners since probably about 94, 95. We started fishing team circuits together. Excellent fisherman, very good, very knowledgeable, and can find fish literally on any lake, I believe. So number two is Gary Carr. He's a local banker here in town. Quality fisherman, dedicated when it comes to practicing for a tournament. He's very serious, and he's one of those that pays really close attention to lots of the details that a lot of people overlook. He can find fish quickly, and he's very thorough. I've watched him and fished against him many a time. He's a very good fisherman. And then Charles Becker. He certainly is a quality fisherman as well. He's been around, like me, for a very long time, fishing out of kayaks and you know, migrated to the bigger boats. He's caught fish literally probably all over the world. Locally, when you go to a weigh-in, he's always got fish. So there's three. I give you 30 if you want them. We'll stay with three.
That's all the questions that I have on my thing. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your fishing club or meeting times or anything that a listener might be interested in?
Well, if anybody's interested in the Bass Federation, it's no secret they have a website. You can go to texas-bass.com. There's many, many clubs in West Texas as well as throughout the state. And it's a lot of fun, and I know I've talked about it before that if you want a chance to go to the Bassmasters Classic at the amateur level, this is the way to go, and there's an opportunity for you to get there. A very hard opportunity, especially in Texas. Texas has more fishermen than any other state as far as people trying to get in this stuff. So if you can get through Texas, you've got a good shot, I can tell you that. But great group of guys, not a whole lot of meetings. We have our meetings usually at the tournaments, but you can go to the website and click on the West Region, and it'll give you all the information you need. You know, and of course they can email me or call me, that information's on there, or email David Zach on the website, and we'll give you all the information you need.
Okay. Guys and gals, you heard it, and we finally got a big one on the blog. It is February 4th, and here in a second we're going to tie these things up. Again, I want to thank Mr. Ramsey for taking the time to come and talk with us. It is a huge honor, again, to have you here.
So thank you, Jay.
Much appreciated.
Anytime.
Guys, thank you for tuning in, and I look forward to bringing up our next installment to be determined who we're going to have.